Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's Vanessa Dentagarmo again filling in today for Teresa Tomeo. She'll be back in about another week. She'll be on the air tomorrow with some pre-taped shows. I'll be on again Monday and Tuesday. And then she'll be back. She's in Italy and for another 10 days, I believe. So I'm happy to be with all of you this morning here on Catholic Connection. And coming up in this hour, Kristen Hawkins is going to join us, and I'm going to read her opinion piece from Fox News. She's the president of Students for Life of America. There's also a Planned Parenthood protest coming up on Friday and other topics she wants to talk with us about. But in a minute, I'm going to read what she wrote that appears on Fox News. And then coming up also at the tail end of this hour is Betsy Karakas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. I'll find that out before we interview her. She is the author of a book, A Happier Parent or Laugh Trying. And I do want to talk to her about that because I do think it's so important that we find ways to be happy parents, because our children are sponges, as we know, and not only do they absorb so much of what we say, they absorb our feelings. I mean, I've noticed that as a parent myself. Kids pick up on the emotions of their parents. They really do. If you're in a bad mood, they become in a bad mood. If you're in a good mood, they're in a good mood. And I tend to, you know, if you've listened to me on the air filling in for Teresa Tomeo, I've talked about how I stress out a lot and I'm a very anxious person. And so that unfortunately sometimes spills over on your kids. So I'm excited to talk with Betsy about how to become a happier parent and what we can do, because it really does affect our children. But before we get to those wonderful interviews and before we get to the news, I want to read, I'm trying to find Kristen Hawkins, who's coming up after the news. She wrote a piece on Fox News, Pro-Choice Instigators Crossing the Line from Harassment to Dehumanization. And I've talked about this on the air a couple days ago about what Representative Brian Sims did, harassing a woman, praying the rosary silently, not causing any problems by herself across from a Planned Parenthood. So Kristen Hawkins wrote this, and we're going to talk with her about this as well. But the violence that many people mourn in the womb seems to have permeated the abortion debate as one dehumanizing act leads to another. Just in this week, posters announcing My Campus Speaking Tour were lit on fire at Western Washington University with no regard to the devastation that could have occurred if the flames were not put out. Meanwhile, a Pennsylvania state legislator, Representative Brian Sims, who achieved notoriety harassing an elderly woman, filmed himself hassling students for life. Student volunteers praying in front of an abortion facility before he tried to dox the teenagers, threatening to make their names public to those who do not value preborn life and who might be willing to harass those who do. This is an elected leader harassing people in the United States for standing for life. I mean, this is outrageous. It's not breaking news that America has a polarization problem. Much of the animosity lives in the large-scale political arena. Democrats versus Republicans, liberals versus conservatives, so true. But one particular issue draws out intense emotion like nothing else: abortion. Just recently, while I was speaking at Boston College, a student argued in favor of medical care for dying infant illegally brought over our border, but not for one born during an abortion, as though where some is born determines human worth. Listen to this. It's such a contradiction. Why is one life valued more than the other? So listen to this again. Just recently, while I was speaking at Boston College, now this is coming from Kristen Hawkins' op-ed she wrote in Fox News. A student argued in favor of medical care for a dying infant illegally brought over our border, but not for one born during an abortion. It makes no sense. How do you choose this life over that life? Isn't all life valued? She continues to write, but at least that was a conversation, which is true. Increasingly, radical behavior is justified when facing someone expressing another point of view, as people convince themselves it's acceptable to approach others with violence. With more than 1,200 student groups on campuses nationwide, Students for Life groups are frequently the victims of pro-choice harassment, vandalization, and even attack. Why is that acceptable in this country? Why? If we're truly a country of freedom, why can't both sides rally without being attacked by the other? Recently, Students for Life of America released an interactive map detailing the more than 100 incidences and counting involving hostility towards pro-life students. So everything is acceptable. You can march for everything. You can protest everything. You can stand for anything, everything but life in this country, because then you'll get attacked. There seems to be little rhyme or reason or pattern to where viewpoint-based violence is occurring. Pro-life displays have been vandalized at private Christian colleges and large public ones nationwide. Three pro-life people, including a 15-year-old and a man peacefully witnessing and an elderly woman, have been physically assaulted in three different cities recently, and pro-choice protesters follow me wherever I go to speak, brandishing coat hangers and throwing my stuff in creeks. At Kent State University earlier this month, the pro-life student group underwent an absolute maelstrom of social media hatred, with one commentator spitting, "All right, so how about you go get raped and fall pregnant?" which was jarring for Clara McKee, one of the pro-life group's officers and employee Students for Life, who herself became pregnant for being raped at 13 years old. And it doesn't help that a lot of pro-choice vandals and bullies lately have been aided and abetted by college officials. This is outrageous. I mean, college officials are helping them attack pro-lifers. This is absurd. Educational institutions should be the safest places for the exchange of ideas, but instead student leaders report that people with positions of authority use it to discriminate against their own students based on their stance on abortion. I mean, we saw this with Representative Sims. He's an elected leader. People voted for this man. And we're saying it's okay that he harasses a woman quietly praying the rosary across the street from Planned Parenthood. And that's okay. There should be way more outrage, especially by people who voted him in. The student body president of the University of Northern Colorado used his platform to warn the entire student body that pro-lifers would be doing outreach on campus, effectively polluting what could have been great dialogue. Yale wants to punish pro-life law students. A Christian university in Minnesota banned a black pro-life speaker from coming to campus. A Catholic school official came out and said that cross imagery creates harm. Cross imagery creates harm. A Catholic school official came out. Can you guys, like, get your head around this? I got to go to the news, but I can't. I just can't get my head around this. A Catholic school official came out and said, cross imagery creates harm. Referring to Students for Pro-Life's display memorializing those who are aborted every single day. A Democratic Party leader used her university position to put pro-life students through extraordinary measures to do a campus event, warning the student body prior. At the University of California, Berkeley, a display was thrown in a river while flags were destroyed at the University of Michigan, and a display was torn down at the University of Connecticut, and that's just to name a few. Oh, Lord, help us. It is, that is Kristen Hawkins. We're going to be talking to her. Pro-choice instigators crossing the line from harassment to dehumanization. It is 9 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio, and it's now time for the news. It appears North Korea is conducting another weapons test. NBC's Janice McKay Fryer is in Beijing monitoring developments in the region.
South Korean military officials saying that indeed North Korea fired a projectile off the northwest coast. It headed east. Japan saying that it was actually several projectiles.
Today's activity comes after the isolated communist state test fired rockets at the least one missile last week. Northern Korea leader Kim Jong-un was on hand to oversee those launches. The FBI is investigating nearly 850 people as possible domestic terrorists. More from Mark Mayfield.
Assistant Director Michael McGarrity told a House panel on Wednesday that the number of cases involving white supremacists and others motivated by race has jumped in the past 6 months. McGarrity said that there have been more arrests and deaths caused by domestic terrorists in the U.S. in recent years than international ones. He said that hatred and extreme views are increasingly being spread online.
Pope Francis is handing down new Vatican laws on how Catholic clergy must handle reports of sexual abuse and cover-ups. The document the Pope issued today includes requiring every diocese in the world to establish stable and easily accessible systems for people to report abuse and cover-up. These need to be in place within 1 year. All clergy and church officials are now also required to report abuse and cover-up, and there can be no retaliation against whistleblowers. The new guidelines include abuse of nuns, seminarians, in addition to children and vulnerable adults. The senior bishop of the Church of England says he wants the U.S. and the U.K. to use foreign policy to protect persecuted Christians. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, made the call during a meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt in London yesterday. The Archbishop also discussed ways to ensure freedom of religion and belief for people of all faiths and traditions. He called freedom to worship an essential part of being a human being. One of the students being hailed a hero after Tuesday's school shooting in Colorado says the person who should be celebrated is the student who lost his life. Mark Mayfield has more.
Kendrick Castillo died a legend. He died a trooper. He got his ticket to Valhalla, and I know he will be with me for the rest of my life.
Kendrick Castillo was killed and eight others were hurt when two gunmen opened fire at STEM School Highlands Ranch on Tuesday afternoon. Brendan Biley says Kendrick first jumped into action, charging one of the gunmen, getting shot in the process. Biley and another student helped subdue that gunman. Biley said the shooters completely and utterly lost to good people who fought back.
General Motors says they're in talks to sell the closed Lordstown, Ohio plant to a truck manufacturer. President Trump tweeted yesterday that the car company agreed to sell the plant to Cincinnati-based Workhorse Group to build electric trucks. Local United Auto Workers Union President Dave Green says he's going to wait and see what happens.
And until I have answers on how this is actually going to impact our membership and get some direction from our international UAW, it's hard to be excited about a presidential tweet.
Governor Mike DeWine says the sale isn't done deal yet. DeWine says there's still a long way to go until the deal goes through. The White House will make drug makers disclose the price of prescription drugs in their TV ads. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says drug companies need to be more transparent about their prices.
If they're afraid that people will be scared off by their extortionate drug prices, lower your price. It's that simple.
The price will have to be included if it's at least $35 for a month's supply. The rule was finalized on Wednesday, which means it will take effect 2 months from now. According to the department, the 10 most commonly advertised drugs range from $488 a month to just short of staggering $17,000 a month. How is that possible? Who could pay $17,000 a month for a drug? I don't mean to laugh. That's just insane. Azar says people should know how much a drug costs long before they get to the counter for the pharmacy. I would agree with that. I've had that situation where I needed a prescription and I got to the counter and I was like, what? What does that cost? No. Kids may be more willing to try healthy foods if their parents tell them that it's good for them. A study out of Washington State University found that kids were more willing to eat raw fruits and vegetables if they were told it would keep them from getting sick. They were also more eager to eat lentils when they were told it would help them run fast and jump high. The key is finding a phrase that kids respond to and repeating it. It is 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. We're going to take a break and come back and talk with our first guest of the hour, Kristen Hawkins. We'll be right back, everyone.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Join us for our Time to Mow sale going on now through May 18th. Our family has been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn since 1945. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line or see all of our Time to Mow sale specials at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz! Weingartz! Everything from long to snow.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Mother's Day, bless the Catholic mothers in developing countries who spend hours collecting drinking water, often from unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach can provide these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Help us lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Join by calling Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
Join the fun at the 48th Annual Spring Festival at St. Sebastian Parish in Dearborn Heights from Friday, May 17th to Sunday, May 19th. Features a major raffle with a $10,000 first prize, Vegas, bingo, games, rides, and great food, such as Polish American Fair. Live entertainment all weekend long. Sunday includes Kenny Kanapka's Polka Cafe, Jody Maddie's Uptown Sound, and America's Polka Sweetheart. Google St. Sebastian in Dearborn Heights for details.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. Joining us is Kristen Hawkins. I just read her piece that appeared in Fox News, her opinion piece on pro-choice instigators crossing the line from harassment into dehumanization. Very well done, Kristen. Of course, my blood was boiling as I was reading it. So much going on that it's just, you're reading this and you're like, this is just insanity.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what this is. This is insanity, and it's going to continue, I think, to get worse, actually.
Yeah. And do you believe that's so because, Kristen, we are making such strides in the pro-life side? You know, we just had Unplanned out. It did very well in the box office. We have votes such as what's going on with governors voting the heartbeat bill, and we're making strides on the pro-life side that it's really scaring the pro-abortion side?
Absolutely. They know what we know, and that Roe versus Wade is going to go away soon, and that's why they feel that this has given them license to act out, and that's the place is why they're vandalizing our displays on campuses, you know, burning, setting the banner with my face on it on fire. You know, at school and speaking at tonight, that's what they did. And that's why you saw, you know, the state elected official in Pennsylvania, Representative Sims, act the way he did. They feel like this fear that they have gives him license to behave in this despicable manner.
Mm-hmm. What I want to get to the heart of, and I haven't yet, I really want to get to the heart of why, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican, I'm going to state that right now, but I'm conservative on the social issues. But there's value in the Democratic Party in a lot of levels when they say they want to protect the most vulnerable in the world, right? They always say, we want to protect the most vulnerable,
absolutely,
the people that need, but yet you're willing to kill the most vulnerable. It's such a contradiction. And I need to get to the heart of that question with the Democratic Party. Why? Why? You claim to want to protect, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've dehumanized the child in the womb, right? You had that commentator, Chris Quinn at CNN this week, who literally said to the world that what is inside of a pregnant mother is not a human, which is biologically incorrect, right? It's a scientifically incorrect statement to make. They dehumanized the child in the womb for 40 plus years. And so there's a deep, deep disconnect, that goes on. And actually we've been doing polling at Students Life. So I was actually at a research firm all day on Monday in Baltimore, interviewing women who are kind of, you know, in between on this issue in their 20s who are trying to find their way. And it's fascinating to hear the responses of women who want to stand up and support the most vulnerable and are proud to say that they support those who are being targeted. But then when you ask them this question about abortion, there's this major disconnect that goes on. And you start hearing these mantras, these lines that have been repeated for 40 years come out of their mouths. And they don't even understand what they've done. Is they've just been hook, line, and sinker into these mantras, and they haven't even thought about it. In some cases, there's just this cognitive dissonance that goes on, right? Where they're almost, they're willing to accept a paradox, to say one thing on one side and then say something completely opposite on the other when it comes to abortion.
Because Planned Parenthood has done a fabulous job in branding and marketing. And fooling the public of what they really stand for. They are an abortion industry. That's what they are. They're an abortion business. But they hide behind the guise of being for women's health. And so they've used that branding and marketing to fool so many people into believing, they're about women's health.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And even in the marketing research that we were doing this week, there was this disconnect where you could see how effective the abortion industry has been of pitting mother versus child.
Yeah.
You know, it was the first time in our world history when that has happened. And that was the disconnect that we were hearing of, I understand, okay, yes, I will accept science when I have to, but I really want to just help her. And, you know, in order to help her and be compassionate, I have to disregard science.
Yeah, it contradicts itself. I mean, a baby is not going, a baby's a baby. A woman pregnant, she's not going to, oh my gosh, miraculously deliver a dog. She's delivering a baby, a human being. You know what I mean? And the fact that they discount that and constantly saying, well, it's not a human, then what is it? Because we know.
That's exactly right. And that's what we teach our students of when you're in a conversation with somebody and someone says that to you, ask that question. Well, what is it? You know, I want a koala bear more than I can even express. Like, I want to own a koala bear as a pet. But my husband and I can never make a koala bear, right?
Yeah.
Because we're two humans. And the law of biogenesis dictates that two humans can only make other human beings.
Yeah.
And so it sounds ridiculous. But when you're in these discussions and when you're having discussions with your friends, your family, coworkers, just ask those questions. Well, if it's not human, then what is it? Tell me what it is. Because there really isn't an answer beyond it's a human being.
Mm-hmm. And now they're outraged over the heartbeat bill. They're saying, before their argument was, there's no heartbeat. Well, now we've proven that there's a heartbeat at, so many weeks into the pregnancy, and now you're going to argue that? It's like it's crazy. Every time we prove them wrong with science, not even religion, with science, they want to attack you. I mean, we've gone to the extreme that, in the first few weeks, it's just a blob. And we saw that in the movie Unplanned of what they're, being scripted to tell people. It's just a blob, right? It's just a blob. But now we've got states like New York saying, a woman has the right to decide to abort up until the time she's delivering. And you so eloquently wrote in your piece, which just made me cringe, was the student who was arguing to protect the child who came here across the borders who could die, but yet it was okay to kill a child who survived an abortion. It just, there's so much contradiction here.
That's absolutely right. And we see it, that was the conversation I had with a student in Boston College, a Catholic university, where she agreed she wanted to help the most vulnerable, and she wanted to, make sure that children who come across the border get the medical care that they need to survive. But yet, when it comes to abortion, it didn't matter if the baby was born alive during the procedure. It still wasn't a baby because of someone else's determination that they wanted to get rid of it, that they didn't value it. And that's a very scary, slippery slope. And what was interesting is, I don't know if I changed her mind. She was very radical. But I really wish the camera, we would be allowed to focus the camera on the audience, because it was 150 students, sold out crowd, and she changed the mind. But by me articulating the position, asking for questions, and showing the illogical position that she was having to accept in order to defend her beliefs, that changed more minds than probably anything else I said, because I was able to point out the illogical position of the pro-choice movement.
Yeah, just by the line of questionings you were asking. That's really brilliant. That's great journalism, is asking the right questions. Yeah. You know what I want to, in addition to all of this, we talked about this contradiction and the branding and how powerful Planned Parenthood has been to marketing themselves. And my argument has always been for years when people are arguing a woman has a right to choose. Okay, is it really a right to choose? Because if you choose, if she chooses life, you attack her. And then, you know, so it's really not a right to choose. As long as she chooses abortion, that's great. If you really care about women, and we got to go in a break in a minute, so think about this during the break, Kristen. If you really care about women, wouldn't you arm them with all the information possible so they can make a really good decision about what to do? And they don't arm them that. They don't let them them see the baby's ultrasound. They don't let them know the risks of an abortion. And so it is a contradiction. But think about that more. We'll talk about that more after the break. We got to take a break. We're talking with Kristen Hawkins. She penned an opinion piece in Fox News. Pro-choice instigators crossing the line from harassment to dehumanization. We'll be right back after this break with Kristen.
Join Arbor Woman as they honor their foundational roots and celebrate growth and expansion. The Arbor Woman's second annual cocktails, dinner, and auction at the Valley at Frutig Farms in Ann Arbor is Thursday, June 6th. Tables are filling fast. Go to arborwomanevents.com to learn about its exciting, life-affirming, comprehensive women's healthcare model with even more services. arborwomanevents.com. Arbor Woman, embracing life, empowering women, and promoting wellness.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic Radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500 or on the web at mspccpa.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
The Connection, Vanessa Dunha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamia this morning. We've been talking with Kristen Hawkins. She penned a piece appearing in Fox News about pro-choice instigators crossing the line from harassment to dehumanization. And Kristen, before we took the break, I asked you about really arming women with all the information. They really cared about women, right, and their rights and their bodies. Wouldn't they arm them with all the information they need in order to truly make a quote-unquote choice, right? But they don't
That's what you would think, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's what we would assume, and that's a logical conclusion. But remember who we're dealing with here is a movement based on illogical interpretations of facts, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually what I challenge students with. I actually had several, you know, for example, just at the school I talked about earlier, Boston College, I had several students actually email me at the end of my presentation who said, yeah, I still disagree with you about abortion. However, you made some really good points about how we're not actually providing women in crisis on campus with the tools they need to stay in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was something that it can bridge the divide between the two sides for sure when you start talking to millennials, talking to mm-hmm. students about why don't we provide resources and support for women to feels that they don't have to choose between the life of their child and their education. And so often when you're looking at college campuses and who's actually providing those resources, it's never. I will bet $1 million, like, it is never the pro-choice group that's providing those resources. It's always the pro-life movement.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because at the end of the day, their movement revolves around one thing and one thing only.
Mm-hmm. And it's abortion to kill babies. I mean, if people understood,
that's
really
right.
Not about a woman's rights, a woman's health, a woman's body. It's really to, at the end of the day, it's to kill babies. It's a business.
I went into Planned Parenthood pregnant and asked for support. You know, I couldn't even get them to give me a referral for an OBGYN in the community if I wanted to, quote unquote, keep my pregnancy, right?
Yeah.
If I want to continue being pregnant. They wouldn't even give me recommendation for prenatal vitamins I should take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy talk. I mean, that's just very simple stuff that you can Google. Because you have to look at that. That doesn't help their business model at the end of the day. Me giving birth doesn't help them.
Mm-hmm. And the whole focus is to kill babies. That's all they want to do. It's an abortion business. And they take $500 million of your taxpayer dollars to do that every year.
That's right.
And that's what I just don't understand that. That's why I want to get to the heart of the Democrats. I'm trying to understand their thought process. How could you support something where we're spending $500 million of taxpayer dollars to kill babies? That's what we're doing. And they're strictly in an abortion business. What really is the heart of why you support this? Because it's not about women's rights. It's not about women's health. That's all a guise. So what is it?
You have to look, too. You have some of your most ardent supporters of abortion are women and men who've been involved in abortion decisions.
Yeah.
And so it's this, I felt like I had to choose this, and any information contrary to this hurts me. And that's actually how I start out all of my presentations on campuses, of saying, look, I'm going to make a moral claim here. I'm going to say, you know, abortion is a moral wrong. However, I'm not saying if you chose abortion, you're a bad person. Because many of us in the pro-life movement have been party to abortion.
Sure.
But I think that's one of the biggest things that we see on campuses are the people who act out the most, who are yelling and screaming and threatening violence, are people who have themselves been party to an abortion.
Yeah.
And they're hurt. And we're dealing with wounded individuals. That's why our response is always love and empathy and compassion for those who behave in these outrageous manners. Because we know this is a wounded person speaking to us. And I think that's why you see some people who are just, you know, ardent supporters. It's because they themselves have gone through it. And in order to be okay with their decision, they have to make sure that no one else expresses a view contrary. And so then they actually become more involved in the abortion rights movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that you make a really good point. They're like walking wounded, and they don't,
That's
they haven't
right.
healed
Absolutely.
From their own pain. Mm-hmm. And they got to lash out to justify their own decision-making from whatever that was. And you're right. We're not here to judge them and reprimand them. We're here to heal them and change their hearts. I mean, to see
That's
truth.
That's exactly right. That's
right?
Exactly right.
I mean, and be there for them. Because I'm sure that was a very painful decision. I'm sure. I mean, killing your child, it can't sit well with anybody. I mean, it just can't. You're human. You have a conscience. You have a heart. I can understand. I can't relate personally because I've never been through that. But I can understand, empathize with that pain you're going through. And that's what they don't understand. The pro-lifers are there to help you heal. I mean, that's why you have so many different, organizations like Mary's Vineyards and other places to help women heal through that process and see that we need to protect life. So, Kristen, what has been the reaction to the piece that you penned for Fox News?
It's been a very positive reaction. I've gotten a lot of emails in support of, you know, the sentiment I expressed there. But, I mean, I think this is something that even people who don't really like to pay attention to abortion politics are starting to take notice that there's something that's changed here and things are getting worse. And I actually think we're going to be seeing, you know, like I said earlier, more and more of this as we get closer to achieving our goal, as the 2020 election starts ramping up, I think everyone should be expecting, you know, President Trump to be, he's going to be talking about this, because, I mean, it's a very easy issue for him, because when you start talking about this, even people who find themselves in the middle on the issue, realize that this is not the way to behave, and shutting down conversation through threats of violence, setting banners on fire, you know, harassing 13-year-old women, is it the way to go? And so we're going to be hearing more and more about this.
You know, often the people that scream the loudest are the most that are hiding behind some, they're wrong. Like, when people start to scream in an argument, it's because what they have to say is not right. So they're thinking they're screaming at you and attacking you because that's the way to shut you down. Kristen Hawken, before we let you go, we have a couple minutes left with you this morning here on Catholic Connection. What do you want to leave with our listeners with?
Well, I want everyone to know that there is hope. And we are actually winning this battle. No matter what you might be seeing on CNN and MSNBC, we're actually winning this battle. We're winning it where it counts, right on the college and high school campuses, right where the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood target their clients. We're winning. And, you know, the poll numbers that we put out this January, our most recent poll showed that the majority of our generation agrees with us that abortion is immoral wrong. And they actually want to see the decision of abortion come back to states where they actually have a vote and a voice. As opposed to seven unelected judges of the Supreme Court who made this decision for everyone, right? So I want you to know that there is hope. Don't despair. But I also want you to understand that now is the time for you to speak up. Now is not the time to be silent. And if you see something, you know, happening, if you're praying in front of a clinic, if you see posters being, you know, taken apart, ripped out, or set on fire, film it. Because what we need to do is we need to continue to expose this behavior to the rest of the country and show the rest of the country this is not normal behavior. This is not behavior that we expect. We shouldn't be expecting this behavior.
Especially from people like Representative Sims. I got to let you go. Kristen, I got to let you go. I got to take the break. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for being with us. Read her
thanks
piece in Fox News. Yes, thanks. Read her piece in Fox News. I'll post it on my communications evangelist, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, Facebook page. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Join us for Our Time to Mow sale going on now through May 18th. Our family has been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn since 1945. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line or see all of our Time to Mow sale specials at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz, everything.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare. Fully alive.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Last week, Japanese Emperor Akihito abdicated his throne. What's the significance of the emperor in Japanese culture and politics? It used to be thought he was a god. We'll talk with Dr. Helen Hardacre of Harvard. Also, Dr. Paul Kengor looks at the life of Cardinal Mincenti, and Dr. Peter Williamson explores the Book of Galatians.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. Happy to be with you. Joining us now is Betsy Karakis. She is the author of a new book, Be a Happier Parent or Laugh Trying. Betsy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I love this topic because I think about this all the time as a parent myself. Of, you know, we talk about our kids being sponges and they absorb so much, but they also absorb our emotions. And whether we're happy or not, we're sad, they pick that up and they almost like take that on themselves. Can you talk with us about that? What inspired this book?
Right. Yeah, it's so important that we keep a brave face for our kids even when, you know, things aren't going so well. What inspired this book is just being a parent, and it's hard work, and any parent knows that, and it can be frustrating at times, and we all need a laugh now and then and a pick-me-up, and this book, I hope, will accomplish that. It gives some parenting tips just to make it easier for parents, as well as including a lot of humor and just trying to help parents learn to lighten up and relax and kind of go with the punches, because there are a lot of punches.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen in life. And, you know, and like I said, our kids do pick up our emotions. I mean, is that part of what you've noticed when you were putting this book together, is that kids do pick up that emotion?
They do, and I actually read a study saying essentially that happy parents have happy kids and sad parents have sad kids, so that kind of speaks to that. I mean, they would be getting that from us, from our example. Mm. They learn so much from our example. So just our mood, our demeanor, how we react to things, just keeping calm and carrying on, you know, that it is very important. And, yeah, sometimes it seems like they do know that, but it's sort of subtle, because I don't know if you've experienced this too. I think a lot of parents have, where you're in the middle of something and you're frustrated and trying to get something done, and that's when a kid walks in and asks for a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't pick up on everything. You're like in the shower or something. They're like, what's for dinner?
And
sometimes they're clueless, but still on some level, they know, you know, mom's not happy, stay away, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, they kind of, like, I noticed that too. It's funny because I came home late yesterday at a late meeting, and so I'm at my computer at 9 o'clock at night trying to get some stuff prepped for this show, and my daughter walks in, and I'm visibly frustrated because I'm tired, I've been gone all day working, and she walks in, and she's like, oh, Mom, can you just, you know, can you help me do my English work? And I'm looking at her like, are you kidding me? But like, sure, I'm going to help you with your English homework, because it's like, I'm not going to say no. But then she looked at me, she's like, are you okay, are you having a bad day?
Like,
you know, you feel bad, but some of the things they just don't get, but some of the things that, you know, I notice my daughter, like, if I'm sad, she's automatically sad. If I'm having a rough day, she takes it on, and I have to be very cognizant of that, because, you know, that kind of the study that you just said kind of scares me, because you don't want to raise an unhappy child because you as a parent are unhappy in this moment in time in your life.
Right. So, yeah, the book is ideally will help with that. That's kind of the whole idea of being a happier parent or laugh trying, because you will try your best and you will fail again and again. That's just kind of the way life works. But I hope to make it easier on parents. Just like they say, a prayer life doesn't make life easier, but it makes things clearer, like you just understand things better. So it's the same type of thing. It's just there's a lot to do with expecting the craziness, because, you know, that it comes with the territory. Once you bring this infant home, all the roles of civilized, you know, human interaction go out the window. There's bodily fluids just do not stay where they're supposed to. You just have to get used to that and accept it, because, you know, stuff happens. And when you know that they're going to happen, it doesn't frustrate you as much. You know what I mean? You can roll with it, and then you can laugh about it more. And that's what I love about Facebook, is parents will share the insanity of things that happen with their children on Facebook. And then we all laugh about it and commiserate about it, and it just makes it easier when you have that outlet and you have that understanding of, this is my life now. This is just the way it is.
It's so funny that you say that, because so since my daughter was about two and a half years old, I have been logging funny things that she has said. I think I have, like, I don't know, I have more than 100 pages. It's probably a couple hundred. I don't know. I've lost track. And I post that on Facebook, and I actually take a picture of her around that, you know, that day that she says it, so I could see what she looked like at that time. And people have gotten to know my daughter on Facebook because of the funny things I post. And sometimes I think, am I violating her privacy? But it brings me such joy when I read the stuff that she says and I start laughing out loud. And it brings, you know, people are like, please keep them coming, because sometimes I have a horrible day and I read your post and I just start bursting out laughing because they say such funny things. And it puts life in perspective. It's like, why am I taking this so seriously? They'll say something out of the blue and you're like, you'll just start laughing because it just breaks up the craziness of the day. And I think that's, but I'm so happy I've done that because, like I said, I have years, like now 10 years of things that she has said that have just cracked me up over the years that has brought me joy, and shown my happiness just by laughing at things that she has said and the way she looks at life.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, years and years ago, I don't know how many years now, I started a blog called Parenting is Funny, and it was exactly for that purpose, where I would share just the goofy things that my kids would do, and other parents would share with me the goofy things their kids would do.
Yeah.
Just recently, a friend took a picture of her journal from when her daughter was 4, and she sent it to me, and she has the name and the date and the age of her child, and she said, today Francesca told me that I have whiskers growing from my face and asked if I was turning into a cat. And stuff like that. So she shared that with me and a couple of others, and so I put that up on the blog, and, especially if other people are a stay-at-home mom like me, we need that social media to be like our interaction with adults outside of the home.
Yeah.
And it really does help the just the camaraderie of it all and the commiseration. And we all get it.
Yeah.
And having a sense of humor really is key, because otherwise it would just be too hard. I don't know how people without a sense of humor can survive being a parent, because you just have to learn to laugh.
Yeah, you have to. And and if you learn to laugh, honestly, that's when you realize how much joy your children bring, because it is tough. This is not easy, you know, being a parent. It's the hardest job in the world, I believe. And when you fail at work, you get upset and you're like, oh God, why did I do that? When you fail as a parent, you really beat yourself up, because you're like, oh my God, am I ruining her life? What am I doing? You know? So there's a lot more pressure, and so when you could find that joy and that humor, it just makes life so much better, because parenting is a gift, and it is joyful, and it is wonderful, and so, what other tips do you have? I think we got to take a break. I'm looking at the clock. Let's take a break. When we come back, Betsy, I want you to share with us other ways that we can find joy and happiness through being a parent. We'll be right back with Betsy. Stay with us, everyone. Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo. We've been talking with Betsy this morning about her wonderful book about being a happy parent. And what other ways, Betsy, can we show how we're happy to help our children? And then I want to ask you how we can get the book, too.
Okay. So I think the main thing about having fun with your children is taking the time to stop whatever it is that you're doing and engage with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it seems like I'm just trying to get through the day, you know, keep them alive, make sure I've fed them, when did I bathe them last, that sort of thing. And we think, oh, we're so busy, but we're not. We can always stop what we're doing. I mean, when there's an emergency, you stop what you're doing to take care of the owie or whatever. So stop what you're doing just to engage with your children and have fun with them. I have a whole chapter called Having Fun with Children, Even Your Own. And so just playing games with them can be such a joy. And reading to them, of course, we should be reading to our kids, but I like to spice it up a little bit by I'll interject some things into it in my normal voice just to see if they can catch on that, hey, that's not in the book. Although one time that backfired on me, I was reading a story to my six-year-old about how to choose a cat, and it had short sentences like, cats are fun and playful, and I added, just like mama, and cats are beautiful and smart, just like mama. And she smiled, and then my husband walked into the room and said, cats are furry and they poop everywhere. And my daughter said, just like mama.
So yeah, you gotta be
you gotta be careful, but of course, you know, then I cracked up and she didn't quite get what was so funny, but she's, you know, laughing too, like, I don't get it, but yay.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of little things, like leaving little notes for them, or my husband will hide their gifts for them when it's Christmas time or their birthdays or whatever, and he'll
put
rolling
little
down
notes.
The hallway.
I love the notes idea. I put little notes in her lunchbox sometimes, you know, for school, and I know she gets a big kick out of it. I know she loves that.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that little connection and just the reminder, especially even when you've had a bad day with them or if you've butted heads with them that day.
Yeah.
Always to hug them goodnight and say, I love you, you're wonderful. Just as a little reminder. And it helps for you as a parent, too, like you were saying earlier, like, oh, no, you know, I'm screwing this up. But we can always, you know, fix it. There's still time. It's an allegory for our spiritual life. You know, we sin all the time. We go to confession. We do the same sin over and over again, but we keep picking ourselves up and continuing going.
Yeah.
The key is to show our kids how much we love them. You know, if they're affectionate, then that's easy. You know, smother them with hugs and kisses. If they like little gifts, and give them little gifts, whatever their love language is, you know, to let them know that we still love them, especially when they screw up, and especially when we screw up, we still just, no matter what, because we need them to learn this when they're adults, too, or teenagers, no matter what they do, no matter what happens, we will always love them. We want them to be comfortable knowing that. When they mess up, they can come to us and talk to us about it, and we'll still be there for them.
How important it is, I noticed this from my own personal experience as a parent, when to see your parents joyful with each other. I mean, I noticed that when my husband and I laugh or joke around, she gets such a kick out of it, and it gives her peace, you know, to see that. How do you talk to that as well, just so the kids to see that healthy relationship between husband and wife?
I do mention that somewhere in here. I do say something like, you know, if you want your kids to be happy and holy and well-adjusted, then you need to have a good relationship. Not just because, you know, divorce is like the number one way to mess up your kids for life. But, yeah, they want to have a good example of a healthy relationship for their sake of their own relationships as they get older, and to know that they can do this, and to find a, you know, a man who will respect them and a woman who will, you know, whatever, respect the man, you know, et cetera. We have to set that example. And and the same thing we talked about at the beginning of this is, you know, having a happy relationship, and keeping your relationship with your spouse strong is important, because you're partners in this. You need to help each other. I don't know how single parents manage. I really don't, if I didn't have my husband to, like, tag in at certain times. Things are just crazy, like, okay, I'm done, your turn.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I do know some single parents, and I'm going to tell you, it is really tough, and I pained for them, because I feel the same way. I don't know how I would go through this. I have one child. I was blessed with one child, and I know single parents who are raising 3-4 kids on their own, and it's really, really tough. We got to pray for them. It's really hard. Yeah, I mean, having your spouse there with you is so important. How can we get the book, Betsy?
It is from Our Sunday Visitor, and they have free shipping, and they're in Indiana. So if you're close and if you're quick, you can get it for Mother's Day. Otherwise, it's a late Mother's Day gift, and that's okay, too. Amazon and Barnes & Noble won't get it until the end of the month, so take advantage now of Our Sunday Visitor's free shipping, and you will be glad you did.
Very good. Anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
I will say that I have two other books that I co-wrote with Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. One is 101 Tips for a Happier Parent, which, you know, helps with that last question. And also 101 Tips for Marrying the Right Person. So if you have college-age kids, you might want to get that.
That's a good one. All right. Thank you so much, Betsy Karakas, for joining us this morning here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you. Go ahead
and get that book for your Mother's Day. So this is what's going on. Teresa will be interviewing tomorrow in a pre-recorded show Bishop Thomas Olmsted, discussing his address at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and Father John Ricardo about the Good News Marriage Cruise coming up in January 2020. It's been a blessing to be with you here this week. I'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.